Good morning.
Morning.
And it is a beautiful one, isn't it? Man, I don't know if y'all got a chance to go out the other day, but man, it was good outside. I mean, it was, it's a teaser, I know, but man, it feels good to get outside and allow the sun to kind of feel the sun on your skin once, you know. I just wanted to start out this morning by saying that the 4 years I've been here, I very much appreciated the encouragement that you all, that I've had here from all of you. It's been fantastic. It's been more than I could have ever asked for. And so I very much appreciated that. I've taken a lot of things that I've learned here. I always like, so I've been to several churches growing up. And I always try to like take a few things that I enjoy seeing from every church. And so I've taken a lot of good things from this church here that I want to take on with me and see as a good example of what a church is supposed to be. So I appreciate you all for that. This evening we have a singing service. I've got a sheet back on the back foyer. If you're going to be here this evening, I encourage you to help out with that. There's a lot of opportunities to help, so please be to sign up for more than one or maybe more than two things if you're able. So we would greatly appreciate that. This morning, what I'd like to talk about briefly, so every so often I go on YouTube and I like to watch videos of some of the songs that we sing or some of the newer songs that we don't necessarily have. So I like to watch videos of groups singing those songs and things like that. And then sometimes I like to read the comments section just for fun for those. And sometimes the comment section is not so good. Usually it ends up being an argument about instrumental music or something like that in the church, which isn't necessarily a bad thing to talk about those things. Sometimes it gets kind of heated though. But one particular comment kind of caught my eye by someone who had commented on one of these videos. And that comment was from a girl who had been a member of the church, but she had gone away from the church then because she said she could never live up to the expectations of the church. She enjoyed the songs that we sang and all the encouragement and all of that, but she couldn't ever live up to the expectations that the church had. And this is a real concern. I mean, other churches certainly don't have as high expectations. I mean, a lot of churches, you don't have to live your life a certain way. All you do is come to church, be encouraged, and then go home, and that's it. And the obligations aren't nearly as stringent, as tough. And so this is a real concern. But we have to understand that what God says is what God says. And so this morning, I'd like to ask you, is this you? Do you sometimes feel like you can't meet the expectations of God? I certainly feel that way often. Sometimes it seems that the trials of life, the trials and tribulations are just too much. It's like, God, why do I have to deal with all of this? Why is this the standard that I have to meet? Why can't it be easier for me? You know? But this morning, what I'd like to try to get across is that we can do this. This is not impossible. You know, in any kind of theory class, like economic theory, I've taken a lot of economic theory classes. What they'll do is they'll draw this graph on the board, this fancy graph would be like this, and you'll have four different curves intersecting each way, and this curve moves that way to that, and so that's all the exam is. You have to draw a bunch of curves and stuff. This, to me, is nonsense. That is theory. Theory, most of the time, does not present itself in the real world. It's a theory to which we can compare the theory to real world situations. This is different. God's law is not simply some theory that's like the gold standard, and then we're obviously never going to hit that standard, but we can be close enough, you know. No, God's standard is something that actually can be hit. And so I want to give you four things here this morning to try to encourage you and to help you realize that we actually can do this. I understand that not everything's going to hit home with everybody, but I hope that you can take something out of this to understand that, yes, God's laws are tough, and God's and the requirements that we have to meet are tough, but they can be done. So first thing that I would encourage you to do is to set goals. And I know this is a fairly common thing for someone to say if you've ever been, you know, in the business world and in a personal improvement thing. They always say set goals. And a lot of times that's all they say, like, you know, set goals. Well, I don't know what that means, you know, set goals. Who knows, you know. But for what I'm trying to say here, I'd like to offer three particular types of goals that we should set. First, goals must be specific. The problem with a lot of goals we set is that they're very general. I want to be a better person. Well, what does that mean? I don't know what that means. I want to be a better person. Like, the more specific you make your goals, the more accountable you are to them. And so I would encourage you to make sure you set goals that are specific. Second, set goals that aren't just easy goals to hit. You want to set goals that are truly ambitious. And then finally, you want to set goals, though, that are attainable, kind of on the other side of this. And so these last two, we see them in the business world a lot. With, say, you say that you're a manager of a plant, and you're trying to set a goal for your employees for how much they're going to produce in the next week or so. Say the goal you want to set is, I don't know what kind of plant this is, so I don't know like what a reasonable amount is, but let's say you want to set 100 units. Maybe it's an airplane factory or something, and your goal is to make 100 airplanes in the next week, which is probably too ambitious anyway. But let's say then that they hit this goal in the past 75% of the time. That's not a very ambitious goal, I would say. I would say that they're probably going to be like, oh, well, that's easy. I don't have to really work towards that too much. We hit that most of the time. But on the other hand, let's say that they've never hit this goal. Like, this is like 50% more than they've ever hit. The most they've ever done is like 50 planes in a week. That goal's really not attainable. And so they're also not going to be interested in going towards that goal either. If they don't feel like that they can accomplish the goal, they're not going to try either. So if the goal's too easily attainable, or if it's too far out that it's not attainable at all, they're not going to do it. That they're going to be interested in pursuing that goal. So these are three things that I would like you to think about when you're setting goals for yourself. And to use an example from the Bible is to not just use examples from the outside world. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'll have the verses up here on the slide if you want to look up at the slide, or you can read them for yourself in your Bible. But 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning in verse 34. But David said to Saul, "Your servant keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it, delivered the lamb from its mouth, and when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard, struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both of them, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing as he has defied the armies of God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will bring me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." I think this is a very powerful example of kind of the all three points we were talking about with trying to set goals. You know, this goal was a very specific goal that David had. And more so on the last two points, you know, this was not some goal that David could not accomplish. God did not just immediately give to some young boy who had never done anything before, like, go kill Goliath, you know. He had conquered the bear. He had conquered these two animals beforehand. And so I think it's important to see that David gained the idea that he actually could do this from those experiences. And I think that's important for us to see too. Obviously, if there are problems in our life with God, if we have sin in our lives, those need to be dealt with. I'm not saying that, oh, you know, you can just deal with those piecemeal, you know, kind of way. If there are real problems in our life, we need to deal with those in order to make sure that our salvation is assured. But just with our average everyday problems in life, things that may keep us away from God, you know, we don't need to reach immediately for the end goal, you know. We may not be prepared to take on some of these things. So trying to set attainable goals, but yet goals that are going to keep us engaged is important. And we can use this example to help us do that, I think. So the second point that I'd like to offer is to how we can have confidence that we can actually do this is that we should flip our perspective. Now, what do I mean by that? So this is the classic example of, is the glass half empty or is the glass half full? And so on the glass half empty side, what we tend to think about is, what's the worst that could happen if I commit sin? You know, like, oh, this is just a one-time thing, you know, this isn't going to have any bad consequences at the end. I would suggest that we should flip our perspective to, what's the worst that could happen if I don't sin? So, as opposed to, what's the consequences if I do sin, and we tend to downplay those. What's the consequences if I don't sin? And take it from the same perspective there, you know. What's the worst that could happen if I choose God over the pleasures of this world? Probably not that much when you think about it. I mean, sin is pleasurable. That's why we are enticed by it. But is it more pleasurable than doing God's will? As an example, I'd like to look at Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 24. Beginning in verse 24 there, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. I think this is a really powerful example here. This is within Hebrews 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith, or Hall of Faith, I guess you could say. But we're using this example here of Moses, who chose. He obviously could. I mean, he could have been called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He could have been, you know, a pretty high up person in Egypt there. But he chose rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. So Moses must have thought, you know, what's the consequence of me having to lead these people? Well, the consequence is I don't get to, you know, enjoy it in Egypt, and I'll have to suffer affliction, trials, and suffer with all of these people over here. But he decided that was more important. And so that's kind of the main point I want to make here, is to not necessarily look at the situation as, what's the worst that could happen if I sin? But instead, what's the worst that could happen if I don't sin? And I think that just changes your whole outlook and your whole attitude about sin. It's more about, what am I now up in order to be a child of God? And so I think that's an important perspective to have. Third, would suggest that we need to use the good examples. Now, what do I mean by that? might recognize this family. Probably weird that I'm putting this up here because you wouldn't expect me to watch this show, but my family, Mom and Rachel, sometimes watch. And if you know what show this is, that is Reba. And so that's her show, which is called Reba, and her family on the show. And so I learned a powerful, not sermon, but a lesson from this show from an example that they had on there. And so this is the daughter, Kira. And on one episode, she was debating whether she wanted to use drugs. And so she was kind of in the stage, a teenager stage, or she was kind of, you know, figuring out what she wanted to do and stuff. So she was debating if she wanted. Now, her dad, Brock, he had used drugs in college. So basically, what she did is she wanted to go out on a walk with him and just ask him about doing drugs. Like, what, you know, what was, like, the experience, what happened after it, or whatever. You know, just ask him for his perspective on it. Now, her mom got kind of mad about that. She's like, wait, you want to ask your dad about smoking pot? I mean, like, he was the one who gave in to the influence. So then she came back, and then she also asked her mom if she would go on a walk with her to take it from the other perspective and say, okay, now I've talked to dad who's used drugs. Now I want to talk to mom who hasn't used drugs. And now I want to talk to mom to see how did she avoid it? How was she able to overcome the influences? And so I think it's important to take it from both of those perspectives, that yes, the bad examples are good. The world clearly has not learned from all the bad examples in the Bible. There are, I mean, some of the issues that people deal with in the Bible are still here today. Most of them are. But also, I think we need to remember to check out the good examples too. So we have several good examples of when things actually go right. Bible. Noah followed God, did what God told him. Him and his family were the only humans saved. We've got Joseph. I mean, look at the bad situation Joseph was put in jail. He was just in a really bad way. But he made the most of that situation and just trusted in God, and God helped him out. Moses. Did he have his faults? Sure he did. But he trusted in God, and as we read there a minute ago, he chose to follow God. And he chose to do what God would have him to do, and he ended up being successful. Joshua, look at what Joshua did. He led the Israelites to take the promised land. These are all examples in the Old Testament of when things go right. We often concentrate, I mean, it's very important to look at, you know, the kings of Israel, kings of Judah. Most of them did terrible, terrible things. But it's also important to think about, look, there are good examples. This is possible. It's not impossible to follow God's law, even though the world may think it is. And some people, even the church, might think it is. It's not impossible. Now, going from the Old Testament to the New Testament, look at Paul. I mean, even the chiefest among those people who are going against God can become a soldier of God. And the Ethiopian eunuch, I mean, he was curious about the word. He wanted to know more. And he was given the opportunity to do that. Peter, did he falter? Sure he did. But for a while, he walked on the water because he had faith. And he believed that Jesus could do these things. And finally, of course, Jesus, the greatest example of them all. If there's one example that we should go to see that we actually can get through this life successfully. It's Jesus. Let's read from 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 15. Whoever confesses Jesus is God's Son, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, but we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We are in the same situation. I mean, Jesus obviously knew that he was God's Son. But we are human just like Jesus. Well, Jesus was tempted. We are going to have our trials, and we are going to have the times that are going to bring us down, that are going to tempt us. But this is not something that's impossible for us to do. Jesus' example is probably the most powerful example of the Bible that we actually can do this. This is possible. And finally, just like to offer that we need to help each other. This is obviously a picture of us, our building here. But first of all, I think we need to have an open environment. And I'm not saying that we don't have this, but I think it's something important to think about and certainly improve upon as we go forward. But the open environment idea is just that, you know, the idea that, look, we all know we're in the same position. Not judging others because they come forward with problems, with issues. We understand that sin needs to be addressed and sin needs to be dealt with. But that means we need to help the person who has sin in their life. And that we need to have an open environment where we're able to talk about those things among each other. Because if we're not going to talk about them here, where else are we going to? The world, you know, when you start talking about like sins with the world, they're like, oh, I do that too. You know, it's like it's just another common thing. They don't necessarily see the problem there. But we can use our own examples. I've talked with a few people about some of the sins that I deal with. And they've had really cool perspectives on it. It's like, I hadn't really ever thought about it that way. And it's really helped me to deal with those things. And so I certainly think that we have this here, but I encourage you to even, you know, ask each other, you know, hey, is there anything you're dealing with? Is there anything that I can help out with? That kind of thing. Obviously, helping each other with our worldly needs is important too, but first and foremost, it's spiritual needs. So having that open environment is important. Also, think about this. We have each other right now. This world is hard, but we have each other right now. When we stand before God, we're standing there alone. So don't wait until you're standing before God to seek help from others, because it's not going to be. So we need to be using each other, and that term sounds bad, using each other, but it is. We all have the same goal, and we're all in the same place. There are some older, some younger, some have been Christians for years and years, some have just become Christians. But at the end of the day, we're all in the same boat. We're all trying to get to heaven, and we all deal with things. There isn't anybody here, I would guess, who's overcome sin. We all deal with these sins. And so to be able to say, hey, look, I deal with this sin. This is something I deal with, and I'm not proud of it, but I'm at least going to admit that and say that I need help, and I need you all to help me, because if I'm not going to get the help here, it's probably not going to come from the outside world. I'm not going to consult a psychiatrist to help me with my spiritual problems. Let's read from the book of Romans, chapter 14, beginning in verse 10. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge each other anymore, but resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or to cause or a cause to fall in our brother's way. That sums up exactly what I was just talking about. And again, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, bear each burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Very simple. So, four simple points this morning. And I don't expect you to get something out of all these points, but maybe something hits you hard this morning. But we actually can do this if we set goals, if we flip our perspective, if we use the good examples in addition to the bad, and if we use each other. So again, this is the first slide we started out with. The girl who said, I couldn't ever live up to their expectations. It was too hard. It was too much. God's law has to be easier than this, right? Unfortunately, it's not, but we can do it. It's not impossible. Finally, let's read from Philippians chapter 3, verses we all know, beginning in verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And that, at the end of the day, is the end goal for us. It's not easy. It's not going to be happy at times. It's not going to be pleasant, but it can be done. If we are willing to be like Jesus and to accept that this world is not necessarily always going to be a pleasant place, but that the end is greater than anything that we could ever imagine, then we actually can do this. So if you're here this morning and you aren't a child of God yet, as we said, I can't promise that it's going to be easy. I can't promise that it's always going to be pleasant. But I can promise you that the reward at the end is so much greater than the affliction that you're going to have in this day and age. So we encourage you, if you have that need, or as we talked about, the open environment, if you need to confess your sins before your brethren, or if you just need help, that's what we're here for. You know, the world today seems to be interested in consulting psychiatrists, and those are very helpful people. But with your spiritual things, we can help you with that. We probably deal with some of the same things that you do. I've found several people who deal with some of the same things that I do in the church. You know, you used to think like, no, nobody does that. I'm just such a terrible person. I'm so much different than, you know, everybody else. They're all good people. I'm so much different. There are people who deal with some of the same things that you do. I can almost guarantee it. So I encourage you this morning, if there's any other way that we can help you, encourage you forward as we stand and sing.